Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to Sleep as a Skill podcast. My guest today is Sergey Young. Who wouldn't want to hear from the man whose mission is to live until 200? Who wouldn't want to hear, particularly with that type of goal, what his aim is around his sleep and what his routines are, really going deep on that area. And to put money where his mouth is, he has actually founded the $100 million Longevity Vision Fund, his personal passion project to accelerate life extension breakthroughs and to make them affordable and accessible to all, positioning him as one of the few investors in the category globally. His longevity fund invests in companies that develop technologies, products, and services that extend healthy human lifespans and overcome the negative effects of aging. Led by Sergey, the team is comprised of a world-class scientific advisory board and leading investment professionals. Sergey has over 20 years of experience managing funds, and while not working on his passion project, he oversees $2 billion in private equity funds and heads Peak State Ventures, a U.S.-based fund with a focus on new technologies in real estate, digital health, and the future of workplace environments. Prior to becoming a fund manager investor, Sergey made a career as a business consultant working at McKinsey & Co., serving global corporations worldwide. Sergey's first book, The Science and Technology of Growing Young, will be released in August 2021. Now let's dive in to hear exactly what he has to share in the area of sleep. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. Sergey, I am so grateful that you took the time to be here with us today to speak about what turns out to be one of both of our favorite topics, which is sleep. So thank you so much.
Hi, Molly. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a lot of fun. And so before we even get into some of the, you know, I'm sure what people would love to know is like what you do for your sleep. Let's just start at the beginning. And how is it that you created such an incredible mission in your life and then impacting the lives of others around longevity?
Perfect. So I'm 49. And before I turned probably 43, my life was all about career. You know, I had, as I say, diversified portfolio for kids. I'm an investor. So I even, you know, I'm explaining my family in investment terms. My life was always about, you know, making money and career. I'm from very poor family. And therefore, it was always the focus. So I actually was looking at my health, to capacity of my mind and body, and to my sleep time as endless credit where I can borrow from. So then, you know, a few years ago, I went to a doctor. They said, Sergey, you have high cholesterol level, and they wanted to put me on statins. And then I realized that statins would require intake until the end of my life. At this time, I thought it's just another 4 years. Right now, I know it's another 151 year. And I kind of asked them, so what is the alternative? And apparently, the alternative was, you know, eat well, change your diet, get some supplements, you know, physical activity, make sure you manage your cortisol level, get enough sleep, you know, meditate. And that's basically it. So I couldn't even believe my ears that it's such a simple set of changes which would put me on healthy trajectory. So I started to experiment with my health and I felt enormous change. I started to share it with everyone and I received so many thank you or Sergey, you saved my life. So, you know, I basically have been on the hook that, you know, continue to bring this change to the world. Then I had an idea, you know, I want to change 1 million lives. And then I met Peter Diamandis and Tony Robbins. And they were like, Sergey, what, you 1 million? You just go for 1 billion. I mean, it's the same amount of efforts. It's just incremental change, but you're going to be going for the bigger impact. So this is my mission. I love bringing affordable and accessible version of longevity and healthy living and health technologies to the world. I'm really enjoying this. This is longevity is my pro bono project. I'm not taking any money from it. I'm just sharing the best of me with the world. So this is the story. And then I also realized this is actually was my first academic paper written that psychological aging and your thoughts that you're actually younger than your, you know, calendar age helps to be younger, be healthy and just be another kind of positive, happy person. So I quickly realized I want to live 200 years in the body and mind of 25 years old. I know it's a little bit, you know, it's too creative and for some people it's too aggressive, but not for me. I'm 49. I have a 3/4 of my life ahead of me. So that's just another source of positive energy and excitement.
Wow. Well, I love that reframing of yourself and your life and the trajectory that you're on and being able to then course correct in such a way that not only impacted your own health, but the health of many, many other people. And one of the things that I think is so interesting too in that story is I can completely relate to kind of your history coming from, you know, not a lot in the background and then really making something of yourself. It's really, really incredible what you've created and what you've done on the planet. So now that this is your big project, your big mission, and this has been and has already been, you know, impacting so many, what is it about sleep that you see for yourself? How does it play a role in your health journey and to create that goal of living to 200? Where do you see it fitting in the roles there? I know you've got some amazing stuff on your website that speaks to the importance of it. So let's just hear a little bit about your thoughts on sleep in that, the puzzle of longevity.
Okay, good. Molly and the audience, I'll try to be as practical as possible. So if you would need a little bit more kind of top-down picture of what is happening, you let me know. But otherwise, let's just go in every practical detail of that, okay? So my journey with sleep, again, remember, I'm always full of ideas. So every time I wanted to find a little bit of more minutes of hours to do something, I was just taking my sleep time as a credit. So I could, you know, before this whole, you know, transformation, it was really easy for me to go to bed at around 2 a.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Because sleep for me was almost like an obligation, like a necessary function of my body and mind. And frankly, I thought it's a waste of time. Then it was probably 2 years ago when I think it was Peter Diamantis who told me about Matthew Walker book. We all obviously know Why We Sleep. And after reading this book, I completely changed my view on sleep. So sleep now is super priority. I have a rule, 8 hours in the bed, which means 7 hours of sleep time. So whatever I do, you know, I try really hard to stick to this rule. It's pretty simple, but one of the realization was that the time I spend in the bed is not necessarily translate 100% to the time that I'm actually sleeping. So we'll come back to the measurement and management side of sleep in a minute. But otherwise, it was really simple, frankly, pretty obvious, but huge realization that you need to spend like 8 hours to get like good 7 hours of sleep. So that was pretty cool. There was the other anecdote that I just want to tell about Matthew Walker. So I'm already finished my book called The Science and Technology of Growing Young. And there's a chapter about peace of mind and importance of sleep there. So it's going to be published in US and UK in August next year. And I've done 50 interviews. So, you know, with George Church, with David Sinclair, with Peter Jackson, Arianna Huffington, you know, all you can dream of, Dave Asprey, all you can dream of to have an interview for Science and Technology book on longevity. And I had an idea. I want to interview Matthew Walker. So I sent him a note through kind of a good friend who knows both him and me. And it's funny, his response was something like that. I'm on long-term leave in year 2019 and year 2020. I'm going to revert to you soon when I'm back to the office in year 2021.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh,
it's wow. A next level out of office.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, I mean, it's typical for me to do the same like for a week. But for like 2 years, that's pretty cool. It reminds me of my other important author and person whom I admire, respect, and know, Greg McEwen, the author of the book called Essentialism.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he's saying great when one. He's writing the book, he's in the monk mode. So he like nothing disturbs him. He's just, you know, 100% there. Okay, so let's come back to the practical side of that. So that's like the first change that I've made in my sleep routine. Well, the other thing, and I have 3 degrees, and my first degree is engineering. I realized, so unless I measure that, I'm not going to change that. So that's why, you know, I come up with using sleep cycles on Apple Watch. You know, I'm actually using more Oura Ring.
Yes.
I kind of like Apple Watch during my daytime, but during my nighttime, my wife complains that it's, you know, it's still bright, it's chunky, et cetera. So if you ask me what kind of algorithm that I'm using to measure and manage my sleep cycle is actually Oura Ring. And the beauty of Oura Ring, it's actually more forgiving. So when you look at your deep sleep number, for example, in Oura Ring, it's always a few minutes more than on the other devices. So I used Fitbit before that, before it was acquired by Google. And so I kind of like this inflation of, you know, positive sleep time as well. So look at my sleep cycle, and the first parameter was obviously just length of sleep. And this is, you know, I still need to work a little bit more on that. And then I'm trying to maximize my deep sleep. And it was actually very interesting to build a feedback loop between some of my actions during the day and my, you know, sleep performance in the night. And, you know, I've made some of the changes in my routines and my life to maximize my sleep performance. So if you want to know more about this.
You know that's where I'm going. I love that you started with tracking, because depending on the guest, there might be really clear either a preference for tracking or not tracking. So I am of the tracking mindset as well. And so the fact that you led with that, I think, is so important. And speaks to that engineering background of your, like, what can you make a difference with if you don't know what you're dealing with? What are the numbers? So now that we know the numbers, yeah, please dive right in and share. What do you do with those numbers? How do you make meaning of that?
Okay, so it's a simple feedback loop. So like, what have I done during the day or in the evening? And what was the quality of my sleep afterwards? And funny enough, I'm a big fan of coffee and red wine. And the unfortunate reality, it does impact your sleep. So what I've done, I actually switched from proper caffeinated coffee to decaffeinated version of that. You could not imagine how the quality of my sleep improved after this simple change. I'm like, you know, I've done 4 or 5 espresso equivalent during the day. And it's always temptation. You kind of know you need to do it in the morning, but then it's like, you know, 2 p.m., 4 p.m., 6 p.m. Okay, well, it's 5 to 6 p.m. Okay, I have another 5 minutes for my espresso. It's almost still like a daytime. So what has happened after I changed my coffee habit? When I use the like proper version of coffee, caffeinated one, it was typical for me not to feel tired, or I had a lot of energy by around midnight. So I ended up with reviewing a lot of documents between midnight and 2 a.m., which is obviously not really healthy anyway. But then when I switched to decaffeinated coffee, I mean, it's this same smell, the same taste. So you couldn't really tell the difference, right? And I felt really amazing. I still doing like 3 or 4 decaf version of espresso, you know, per day. But, you know, I don't have excessive energy, adrenaline, and, you know, I can actually wind down for bed in the evening. And it felt really natural, you know, to meet my pillow and, you know, go to bed. So that was pretty cool. The more difficult choice was around red wine. I'm a big believer in red wine. It's a social drink for me when we meet with friends. Yeah, I do that. But what I discovered, even if I have, you know, 1 glass of red wine, I usually get 2. The deep sleep part of your sleeping time is actually moving from kind of midnight to 4 a.m. And I was like, why is that? So, and if you combine it with your heart rate that you measure through Apple Watch, you know, Fitbit, whatever your wearable choice or Oura Ring, you actually discovered that your heart rate after, I mean, your kind of wine evening starts really high. And then it starts decline towards 5 or 6 a.m. And then your deep sleep is coming much, much later during your sleep time, actually towards the morning, rather than my usual and kind of high sleep performance nights. You know, deep sleep is like the first thing that I catch, you know, through my sleep cycle. So, and I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. And, you know, I'm pretty sure this is not really healthy. So I limit my wine consumption. Right now, it's always with food, with dinner. So if I have dinner with friends or with family, you know, I start kind of 7 p.m. So it's not like we're sitting late around midnight and enjoying the wine with friends. It's always with the dinner rather than late night drinks. And I try to do really 1 or 2 glasses of wine. And what I also done, I have like, well, it's not tradition. So the rule is I can have wine either on Friday or on Saturday, because then on Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I can spend a little more time in the bed, if you can allow to spend more time in the bed with 4 kids at home. But that's a separate
then,
discussion.
Yes, then you're winning, yeah, absolutely.
But that's the story. So I actually limit my wine consumption only for 2 days towards the weekend. And I move it from, you know, 10, 11 p.m. to 7 p.m. And I try to really kind of decrease that, because it was pretty negative impact on my sleep.
Wow. Okay. Just one, I hear you too. It's huge changes. And that's one of the biggest things that we hear, especially with the Oura Ring, because it does such a great job at helping us see how our behaviors impact our sleep. And particularly the two things that you mentioned is what I hear all the time too, with coffee and alcohol. And Are there any preferences that you've had? Are you still playing with those replacements? So there's a lot of brands popping up around coffee replacements, and then also alcohol or wine specifically that is lower in sugar. Are there types of brands that you go with, or do you just find as long as moderation timing?
So, I mean, it's while we have a pretty narrow and super important theme of sleep here, it's obviously your sleep habits and your sleep performance is... couldn't be discussed out of context of your diet and your physical activity, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at my Horizon One is actually what you can do now to extend your life, in addition to, you know, annual checkup of your health and like early detection of cancer and heart disease, and not smoking, which is like doing really something stupid and taking out 10 years from your lifespan.
Right.
You know, it's diet, it's physical exercise, and it's peace of mind, where I have sleep and meditation and act of kindness. So diet, obviously, if you're heavy meat eater, I'm not religious, I'm not vegan by a number of reasons, including some rational one, and it's actually much easier to maintain reproductive health with taking a little bit of clean meat. But I don't consume meat and fish in the evening. So if I'm going for animal or fish protein, it's likely to be my morning meal or my lunch. Because, I mean, if you had a full meal during the evening, you obviously, you know, just your body going to be busy with sorting out this thing rather than trying to get you to sleep. So this is what I'm doing. I do recommend, you know, heavy focus on plants. I eliminated, you know, all the sugar from my intake, because sugar is pretty dangerous for your long-term health. So therefore, I think on the diet front, it's super important. So if you are the ones who's taking, you know, red meat or fish, just try to do it early during the day, run in the evening. And obviously, I don't drink any, you know, sugar drinks or energy drinks. So that's almost like a separate discussion. And obviously, some physical activity changes that you would need to do to improve the quality of your sleep time.
Great call out. And I saw that on your website too. I was really happy to see that you talked about kind of front loading your meals, which a lot of people, it's still a newer concept to them as to how that would impact our sleep. And it's a little out of the norm for certainly our social life to be putting so much of the weight of our food.
Great.
Right?
Well, let's discuss that. Yeah. So guys, just give it a try. You know, take 5 days, Monday to Friday, and give it a try. So have your last meal, 5:30 p.m., something like that. So to make sure, I mean, if you go to bed at 11 or 12, you have 5 to 6 hours time to process that. It's such an amazing light feeling And I can promise you, when you go to bed, you'll catch your sleep like that. And it's just, it's really amazing. You feel like you're super ready for this, you know, wonderful sleeping time. So give it a try. You know, I'm doing more than that, right? I'm doing fasting. My fasting window is like Monday evening to Wednesday morning. So I do 36 hours of fast every week. And it's just, it's completely different degree of freedom and connection to your body. So give it a try. You can do like this window fasting that we all know, like fast mimicking diets. So whatever the window of food consumption that you have, you know, it can be, you know, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Yeah, just give it a try. It's pretty cool thing and you really enjoy it.
So great. And I love that you're speaking, because a lot of what we're saying is actually kind of outside of the bell curve of a lot of habits for many, many people. So, and you're touching top down onto some of the most important ones. So powerful. And with that, have you seen for yourself that in the shift of that, is that something where you're also tracking some of the food intake? Are you doing any like continuous glucose monitors or anything of that nature to get a sense?
Yeah, so I actually do have continuous glucose monitor in my office, but I'm still struggling to find time to instill it. What we call wearables or trackers today is our personalized healthcare devices. So I'm actually waiting for time when Apple Watch, you know, Halo or, you know, Fitbit will have continuous glucose monitor functionality in its wearables. And I don't think it's really far away. You know, it's probably anywhere between 2 and 5 years from now. I know it's not really obvious, you know, how to do it, but, you know, we sorted out a lot of different things. So I'm looking forward to, you know, this being integrated here. And then in addition to blood pressure monitor, which can be part of functionality soon as well. I think it's like 95% of the data that you need to monitor on a daily basis, which is healthcare. So I do believe it is about healthcare and your personalized healthcare devices that we have, rather than just, you know, random wearables, which gives us funny statistics. And so that's one. So then on calories, you know, I know like 50 top longevity academics and scientists in the world. In fact, I interviewed them for my book, and we work a lot with them in the context of Longevity Vision Fund, where we invest money in is what I call Horizon 2. Remember, Horizon 2 is Horizon 1 is what you can do now. Horizon 2 is technology which will be available to us in 5, 10, 15 years from now. It's like genome editing, gene therapy, regenerative medicine, organ replacement, stem cells, etc. And then Horizon 3 is like completely ridiculous things in 25, 50 years from now, like human brain AI integration, you know, robotic avatars, etc. So there's a lot of disagreement in academic community. What are the things today which will extend your lifespan and health span? With only one exception, that caloric restriction, consuming 15 to 25% less calories during your day, is almost guaranteed to add to your life another 2, 3, 5 of happy and healthy years. So how do I do that? It's just really difficult. With the current technology, it's really difficult just to count all the calories, in fact, kilocalories that you're consuming. So I have my life hacks. You know, if you do fasting, it's obviously taking out like 15% of your weekly, you know, calories intake. If you do really heavy plant-based, this is what I do. It's great because the caloric intensity of vegetables is so low. So even if you have like the full table of vegetables, I mean, you're not going to get fat. That's just, you know, amazing life hack that I use. So, you know, I'm really, you know, vegetable person and I love the impact of this. So I'm not trying to measure nitty gritty details of my, you know, every plate, but this set of principles is actually helpful to manage that. And obviously all this heavy calorie stuff like processed food and sugar drinks and any other sources apart from olive oil, I mean, it's all really very intensive in terms of calories. So, you know, I don't do that.
So great. And when you do those extended fasts, the 36 hours, which is awesome, do you see the difference on your sleep stats too, around your heart rate and your HRV and body temperature and all those good things?
So remember, you know, I fast Monday evening. So Monday 6 p.m. is my last meal. And then my next meal is Wednesday, somewhere around 9 a.m. So after 24 hours of fasting, I'm going to bed on Tuesday evening. This is my best sleep time through the week. So usually I go to bed like at around 11 p.m. on Tuesday. I'm barely survive until like 9 p.m. or 9:30. I'm going to bed. This is like the best sleep I have. My body is so free of, you know, unnecessary work on processing the food, etc. And it feels really amazing. And when I wake up on Wednesday morning, this is it's just the best feeling, you know, I can get, and I can advise to everyone to give it a try. I mean, you obviously can have a very special medical conditions which doesn't give you the luxury choice of fasting. So consult with your doctor. But otherwise, you know, this routine is pretty cool. So if you think about reducing your calories intake, so two things which adds a lot of calories to your day, if you do it in the wrong way. One is if you really focus and you consume a lot of processed foods, is another 500 calories, which is added to your day. That's a lot. And then imagine lack of sleep. So if you really undermine your sleeping time and quality of your sleeping time, that's just another 500 calories to your intake automatically, because it's just comfort eating. You're trying to feed your body because you basically deprived it from very precious sleeping time.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. So you've covered some really important points. And I love that you started actually with the ones that I have the most pushback from people to implement, you know, coffee, the wine, the, you know, bringing in some kind of intermittent fast or extended fast. And then the earlier time restricted feeding or circadian rhythm, intermittent fasting. So really, really powerful that you led with those. And I'm wondering if you have an approach at all to light management. And certainly when we talk about sleep and circadian rhythm, are you mindful of your kind of the light exposure that you have in your space or sunlight, darkness, all of that?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. The light story started really earlier with Dave Asprey. And he's just an amazing man. And I learned a lot from him. And I do receive a lot of support from him on my lifestyle and health choices. So I think it was Headstrong, his book, and his writing on lights as well. So what I've done, actually, I have like zero light in my bedroom. This is like made a lot of investments to make sure there's no single ray of light from the outside, you know, will be in my bedroom. I also made sure that there's no, you know, certain like electronic or gadget indicators which would bother me during the night. So that's I've done it, and it's just great. You know, I really, you know, love it. And obviously, you know, all my, you know, gadgets, they switch off, so, you know, I'm not really bothering myself with that. And the proper mental state is not like you hesitating, well, should I look at, you know, my WhatsApp or Facebook messenger, or, you know, someone probably called me, you know, you shouldn't have these thoughts and or interpretation. So I'm going to airplane mode, and that's it.
I love that. So, and I love that you went into the thought aspect of things. Like from a tech perspective, I often reference this one gadget called the Ebb, EBB, and not because of the gadget, but just how interesting it is that it's, the whole premise is that it cools the prefrontal cortex, because when we are in these really stressed out states, that our brain actually heats, turns up in temperature, and then that can be anti to or against the grain of what we're trying to do to facilitate great sleep, which is this cool down process, melatonin.
Really? How do you spell it? Is it EBB or ABB?
EBB, like an ebb and flow type of deal. Yeah. Wonderful. And so it's really interesting. They have a lot of clinical research behind it, but, you know, not saying that everyone has to get the product, but more just pointing to this concept that our thoughts are that powerful that it can shift our body temperature, and particularly the brain.
I mean, working with your mind, I'm like full of energy, right?
Yes,
I don't know.
Clear.
I have this connection with the universe. You know, you can wake me up at 3 a.m. You know, I can be next Tony Robbins.
Yes.
On stage. So what I do, I meditate, and I actually use Muse for that. On one side, I do believe that we don't need to have, you know, any support for meditation. Just, you know, calm state, room, and you on your own. That's the only thing that we need to meditate. But I kind of like gadget side of it. So I'm using Muse. I think they have a brilliant way to give me feedback during meditation, you know, by using sounds of nature. So when I do like really bad job, it's thunderstorm. When I'm doing a great job meditating, they give me like this bird singing.
Yes.
You know, it's calm weather. It's so beautiful. And it's, if you think about this, there's very few ways to give you feedback during meditation, right?
Yeah.
Because the last thing you can do it when you meditate is someone telling you, oh, you're doing a great job. Continue that. I have a funny, I don't know if we have time, funny thing about meditation. I went to Shaolin Monastery, the legendary monastery in China. I have this bracelet from there 2 years ago. And I took one of my kids there. He's 9 years old, Timothy. So we went and like, you know, I love meditation. He hates that. And we had a really old monk, you know, coming with a, you know, huge, like a bamboo thing in meditation room, you know, by the beautiful lake, mountains, you know, all these Shaolin monks. And he said, okay, guys, here's your 20 minutes meditation time. And if you open your eyes before that, I'll just hit you with bamboo. So we're done with 20 minutes. I'm like, you know, I open my eyes and Timothy, he's just sitting there in his phrase. And I'm like, Timothy, we've done. And he's like, are you sure? Are you sure it's 20 minutes? You know, I don't want to open my eyes. Yeah. So he was so afraid of this bamboo thing. So combination of positive and negative reinforcement work.
I love that. Can be the Muse version 5 or something.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's just the other level of that. So I do use Muse, and that's, I think it's pretty cool. I love the gadget side of it. The other thing that I found in Upgrade Lab, former mm-hmm. name of Bulletproof Lab,
sure.
on Main Street in Santa Monica, which is Dave Asprey creation, is this whole neurofeedback thing. And I know that Dave actually does that in, there's a 5 days program called 40 Years of Zen, when you basically, you know, you switch off your phone and then you just do neurofeedback again and again. So I've done, not with Dave, but in the center of London, 10 sessions of 30 minutes neurofeedback. My goodness, you couldn't believe the change. You felt after each session, I mean, you obviously need to build up the first 3 or 4. And after you feel like you're in Zen, you feel like you're the calmest person on earth. You feel like you're just meditating in this beautiful mountains in a monastery for a day or so. I couldn't really even believe the impact that technology, that like neurofeedback technology can has on that. And obviously my sleep after this 10 session in the first 3 months, it was just like super amazing.
Oh, I believe it. Wow. Okay. So clearly taking the time, energy, and effort to get a sense of your thoughts, if they're serving you, if they're not serving you, and then to get in and kind of do the necessary rewiring, so to speak, to make a difference with that. And then, of course, you know, seeing the results and your body's ability to kind of calm itself in the evening and get that sleep that you need. How about, are there supplements? Supplements are always this question that people tend to go to. And I'm just curious if, you know, you with longevity approach, if you have approach to supplements for sleep?
So I'm big fan of supplements. Like, you know, if supplement industry is in prosperity mode, it's because of guys like me. So I'm taking like 30 to 40 supplements during the day. The beauty of supplements that 30 or 40% of positive, you know, effect of that is placebo effect. And I'm like placebo guy, you know, I can have a positive thought and then it works, you know, I love it. So that's the beauty of that. In fact, so if you look at biotech, there were a number of trials where they had a problem proving the effectiveness of particular drug substance because your placebo group sometimes produce exactly the same result. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, in there for every drug. But in some of the cases, placebo is a powerful thing. So supplements are like 30 or 40% great, at least because of placebo effect. So then I haven't found any supplement which I would take in particular to improve my sleep. I don't do melatonin. Unless I fly from kind of London to LA and it's 8 hours time difference and I need to adjust to that. So I take slow release, you know, probably 3 milligram or 5 milligram, but it's literally like 2 or 3 nights every quarter or something like that. So it's not really a lot. I don't have a scientific basis to judge on that, but I don't think it's super healthy to take melatonin like every night. So if you actually do require melatonin or any other, like, you know, sleeping pill to support your sleep, I would try to go back to square one and actually try to fix the underlying problems that you're trying to solve with this drug or this supplement, rather than just relying on chemical, natural or chemical substances to improve that. So this is what I think. But obviously, like, you know, drinking, well, this is chamomile tea, right? And I do a lot of herbal tea. It's actually great for you, rather than just, you know, run on, you know, caffeine from, you know, usual black tea or any other drinks, or, you know, moreover from energy drinks or from natural coffee. So that's my take on supplements. So this separate kind of supplement discussion on,
yes,
you know, overall supplement universe, but this would require another 2 or 3 hours of our time.
It would, yes. Well, and I'm really happy to hear too your approach to melatonin, because there's a couple camps around melatonin of people's approaches, and I happen to fall in similar to yours of, I think it warrants really looking to see all the, and exhausting all the other things that we can do to make a difference before really looking to particularly long-term melatonin use, because it is a hormone, and I think a lot of people forget about that. And I do have a similar mindset too, that jet lag is one area that you might be able to make an exception for, or sometimes in the elderly population, then that might be something that people look at.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, absolutely. I think that's very wise to be mindful of that. And there's so much that we can do. So when you think about sleep, you have some, again, great resources on your website as to the importance of that. So do you foresee this to continue to be something that you'll be looking at and continuing to optimize for in this 200 years that you are aiming to be on this planet?
Yeah, that's interesting. So in the context of 3 horizons, right?
Yes.
So we know what to do in horizon one. There's so many things that we discussed today, or you discussed on your podcast, that we can, you know, change at the moment to improve our sleep. So that's horizon one. Then my disappointment that we don't see a lot of technologies which would radically, you know, change, support, or optimize the way we sleep. Well, probably when in addition to, you know, oxygen, you know, all these, you know, medical type of devices which deals with particular sleep problems, right? For us, for general public, wearing black, we just,
yes.
It's a great coincidence, but it's just not a lot of things that I can see in horizon two, in the next 5, 10, 15 years from now, which would fundamentally change and support our desire to sleep better, right? So that's the problem, what I see. That's the fact. So we're looking at 200 companies, longevity related companies and technologies a year, to invest in 10 of them through Longevity Vision Fund. And that's the reality. But then if you think about Horizon 3, about our life, when we're all going to be living 200 years, there's so many things which will be done there, from, you know, us existing in a digital and virtual space. And I do believe that we'll find a way to do like a quick recharge, like a micro sleep, et cetera, when you can, you know, do like the fast, you know, sleeping recharge for, you know, 20 minutes and save a lot of time. But then this requires a lot of more thinking, because obviously the power of sleep is just enormous for our body, for everything, from your, you know, happy mood to hormonal balance and your ability to live longer, healthier, and happier.
Absolutely. Well, it's so great to hear your perspective on it too, as such a visionary. And I can see why you would like to Matthew Walker's book, because I love one of his last chapters where he speaks to what he sees on the horizon, to use your word. And it's really is an exciting time around this area that has for so long kind of gotten pushed to the side in the conversation of health and well-being. And there's so much ahead, so much sleep tech that's kind of coming out and basically on the coming out in the near future. So what you're speaking to is very, very exciting. And the other thing I wanted to say too is it's clear when people hear what you're up to and your mission and the longevity project and all that you are creating in this world that you've gotten some excitement and buzz. So I'm sure that people have just heard a little bit of a taste of what it is that your approach is, of course, on this topic of sleep, but I'm sure they're going to want to know more around how you're planning to, you know, just live a long and happy life as long as you possibly can. So how can people follow you, learn more about you and stay in this conversation and particularly make sure that they pre-order that book? Because that's going to be really exciting. I can't wait to read that one.
Yeah. Well, the easiest thing is to go to sergeyyoung.com and sign up for our newsletters. We'll take it from there. But thanks for asking. You. Obviously, I'll enjoy the opportunity to continue this dialogue. There's so many things that we can share by looking at these 200 companies a year. Some of the things is amazing. Some of the things, you know, related to, you know, our ability to replace organs. Some of the, you know, to, you know, early detection of cancer or, you know, treat some of the most dangerous disease in this world. So there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in longevity sector and longevity field. So I'm really happy to share them.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you again for taking the time and just mind-blowing stuff that you're up to. So really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Molly. And thanks, everyone. Stay healthy and happy.
Thank you.
Well.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.